Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, new details on last week's shooting at the CDC in Atlanta. Senator John Ossoff shines a light on abusive conditions at immigration detention centers and a look at the impact of the closure of a paper mill in Georgia's Early County.
This is going to have a devastating impact on the timber industry in all of Southwest Georgia.
Today is Monday, August 11th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is in Atlanta today visiting the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention headquarters that was targeted in a shooting on Friday. His visit comes as CDC employees were asked to work from home today if possible. The shooting left a DeKalb County police officer dead and dozens of bullet holes in CDC office windows. The shooter is deceased. The attack marks a shift for physician Elizabeth Soda, who gathered with other staff yesterday in Atlanta's Piedmont Park.
I don't know how we move forward from this. I know we will because of this, right? There are amazing people, amazingly dedicated public servants that work at CDC, and they're going to rally. They're going to come back because they believe in their mission.
The shooter, identified by police as 30-year-old Patrick Joseph White, blamed the COVID-19 vaccine for making him depressed and suicidal. Current and former staff are calling for RFK Jr. to resign, saying he has fueled distrust in public health and therefore is a danger to its workers. New data from the CDC show childhood vaccination rates in Georgia are slipping. Last year, nearly 87% of children entering kindergarten were up to date on required vaccines. That's down more than 7% in a decade. The state's exemption rate rose to almost 5%, mostly for religious reasons. Georgia has one of the highest vaccine exemption rates in the South. Public health experts warn the decline leaves children more vulnerable to outbreaks like measles, which Georgia already has seen this year. A new study by University of Georgia researchers says a lack of mandated planning time may be contributing to high turnover and burnout in the industry. Researchers say some pre-K teachers have 10 hours a week, while some have none. The study did not look at specific outcomes, but researchers say teachers are working evenings and weekends, which could contribute to burnout. Atlanta Public Schools is rolling out a new comprehensive plan to address overcrowding and low enrollment across the district. GPB's Amanda Andrews reports some schools will close as a result.
The school system is gathering community feedback to create the APS Forward 2040 plan. Decisions about which facilities will expand, close, or merge will be based on data and community input. Tracy Richter is working with the APS board. He says transfer rates are one thing they're considering.
It can give us information about why students are going to other boundaries, what the reasoning is. Could it be programming? Can we realign programming to reduce this in order to keep kids closer to their neighborhood school?
Proposed changes will be shared publicly the week of August 18th and will be open to community feedback. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
Senator John Ossoff says his office has documented more than 500 cases of abuse in immigrant detention centers, including the abuse of pregnant women and children. GPB's Chase McGee has more.
The claims flow from an investigation of ICE facilities the senator's office began in January. They include what Ossoff calls 14 credible accounts of mistreatment of pregnant women in custody and 18 accounts of mistreatment of children. Dr. Marcia Griffin is a pediatrician and executive with the American Academy of Pediatrics. She says no amount of time in detention is safe for a child.
You might see a child who was previously potty trained begin to wet the bed, or a child that was beginning to speak in sentences suddenly regress to babbling.
In a statement, Department of Homeland Security Assistant Secretary Tricia McLaughlin calls the allegations, quote, garbage. The statement also claims many children in detention receive the best health care of their lives. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
Monthly health care premiums for plans under the Affordable Care Act are expected to rise significantly this year. Georgia insurers have, in part, cited a loss of federal subsidies as a reason for the price hikes. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more.
Marketplace plans will be more expensive during November's open enrollment. Natasha Taylor is with the consumer advocacy group Georgia Watch.
So this is the largest requested rate change since 2018.
In preliminary filings from health insurers in Georgia, rate increases vary from 6% to 40% depending on the plan. Why? Insurers expect that a loss in federal subsidies will mean healthy people cancel their plans, leaving insurers to cover those with more expensive care. Insurers will still need to go through a rate review with the state. Taylor says that's a chance for intervention if the state wants to keep its record enrollment.
Policymakers can advocate for state-level subsidy enhancements.
Or reel in increases by requiring insurers further justify their rates. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
The Georgia-Pacific Mill in southwest Georgia's Early County produced its last roll of paper several weeks ago. The company ended most of the mill's 535 jobs by the beginning of this month, citing, quote, various factors. GPB's Orlando Montoya reports on the closure's wide-ranging impacts.
A report presented to county commissioners paints a bleak picture for a region that relied on the mill as a major employer for six decades. It estimated the annual economic loss at $182 million. That includes not just payroll and spending, but also tax revenue for local schools and governments, and the impact on foresters who supplied the mill. Consultant David Bridges prepared the report.
This is going to have a devastating impact on the timber industry in all of southwest Georgia.
Bridges urges county officials to look ahead to redevelopment, and he urges state officials simply to pay attention to what's happening in a region that he said is, quote, falling by the wayside. For GPB News, I'm Orlando Montoya.
A group of incarcerated transgender women and men have sued Georgia corrections officials. They're challenging a new law that prevents them from receiving gender-affirming medical care. The lawsuit, filed late last week, accuses the state of violating the Eighth Amendment, which prohibits cruel and unusual punishment. The class-action lawsuit, filed on behalf of nearly 300 other people in Georgia state prisons, says the state's law will have catastrophic consequences because, in some cases, it is forcing trans people who have already received hormone replacement therapy and other services for years to detransition without their consent. The state's majority conservative legislature last May passed a bill that outlaws state funding for treatments to address gender dysphoria. Atlanta-based Guardian Sports has released a newly designed chin strap that it says will make collisions on the football field safer. The Guardian chin strap uses fluid to absorb the shock of a collision. The company says the Guardian chin strap is fully compatible with all major football helmets and is currently being used by select college and NFL athletes. Pre-orders are open now. Individual and team sales are scheduled to launch in January of next year. A data center company has secured more than $1 billion in financing for a data center campus in Douglas County, west of Atlanta. DC Blocks says the funds will support the development of a 120-megawatt data center, which it expects to open as early as 2027. Georgia has the second fastest-growing data center market in the nation, behind Virginia. And while many Georgia officials are embracing data centers for their impact on local tax bases, others are pushing back on them because of their impacts on water, land, and electricity demand.
It's rare to find a podcast that can actually change your life. But when the show's called Life Kit, that's kind of the whole point. I'm Mariel Segarra. 3 times a week on the Life Kit podcast, we guide you through a topic we could all use help with, from personal development to healthy living to managing your dinero, with takeaways so you can start living what you learn right away. Escucha el Life Kit podcast from NPR.
For the first time in Major League Baseball history, a woman has served as an umpire during a regular season game. Jen Powell wore 3 games over the weekend between the Miami Marlins and the Atlanta Braves at the home of the Atlanta Braves, Truist Park. The 48-year-old from West Milford, New Jersey, has been working in the minor leagues for nearly a decade. She's called some 1,200 games there, and she told reporters she's wanted to be a Major League umpire for a decade. And Saturday, she finally made her mark.
It was pretty amazing when we took the field, and it seemed like quite a few people had started clapping and saying my name and stuff, so that was pretty intense and very, very emotional.
While some fans at Truist Park on Saturday were unaware that something special was happening on the field, others showed up because they knew Powell was about to make history. Among those fans was Atlanta native Karen Schultz. She showed up with signs celebrating the historic moment, one featuring Powell's name alongside those of Braves legends Hank Aaron and Phil Niekro, and another that said, "We are all dreamers."
A little girl, a little boy, you know, regardless, has a dream, pursues it, the community supports it, and it gets there, they get the training, they work hard, and they get their dream. We're celebrating the American dream today.
Players, too, remarked on the historic moment. The Braves starting pitcher Hurston Waldrop has shared the field with Powell in the minor leagues.
I can't imagine how hard it is for her to have come up, and you know, everyone says it's probably told her it was impossible, but to be a part of that, and they made a big deal out of it, as it should be, and that's pretty cool for her.
The MLB did not look back in its official remarks about Jen Powell breaking the gender barrier for umpires. Of the historic moment, MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred said, quote, "She has earned this opportunity, and we are proud of the strong example she has set, particularly for all the women and young girls who aspire to roles on the field." For now, Jen Powell says she is working day to day, hoping for new major league assignments. The black cap that the first female umpire wore during her debut is headed for the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York, so it is a guarantee that Jen Powell has found her place in history. That's a wrap on Georgia Today. We do appreciate you choosing GPB for your source of news. We've got more news for you at our website, gpb.org/news. And of course, this podcast will be back tomorrow afternoon, so make sure you subscribe now. Your feedback, your story ideas, your suggestions for improvement are always considered. So please do send them our way by email. The email address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.